You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by John Budden to look ahead to the best of Sunday's racing. We've got races at Perth, Suddle and Fairy House to look forward to. Also action at Stratford and at Sligo on Sunday. But we're going to focus on contests at Perth, Suddle and Fairy House. We'll get to them shortly, but first things first, a good afternoon and a welcome to the Racing Podcast for Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well. It got a bit damp coming up from the station this morning, but apart from that, in good shape, and I could do with a winning nap.
Couldn't we all, John? Couldn't we all? Not really seasonal weather. You don't really associate the Wimbledon finals weekend with light drizzle, but that's what we've had in Leeds on Saturday morning, haven't we?
Yeah, the weather is very trying and frustrating, actually, for all sports, but particularly for racing, because, you know, at this time, Alex, you would expect the ground to be good to firm, with courses having to water and so on. And it is in parts of the north, but only very rarely do we find that ground. And It is depressing because a lot of horses are waiting for, you know, the better ground, the faster conditions.
Just talking to James Milman, actually, outside in the office. He's on William Hill TV on Saturday. And one of his father's runners, Sir Roderick, was down to run at Newmarket, and they've had to pull that out because the ground's too firm there. It's sort of like, in total, across the summer, we'll probably have had about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks of properly solid, safe ground, and then it seems to be going one way or the other, doesn't it?
It does go one way or the other.
Very soft, particularly at Newmarket as well. It seems to be one or the other, doesn't it?
And it's fearfully geographical. I mean, Newmarket is on the East Coast. They've had a dry week. A lot of other places, such as Carlisle and in the West, has been pretty wet. Sir Roderick, good horse for the Millmans, incidentally. I thought he'd won really well at Sandown, and I pity that it's lost the opportunity because of the ground.
Well, fortunately, tomorrow, or at least as things stand, we're recording this at 1:30 on Saturday, the going at Perth is good, the going at Suddle is good, the going at Stratford is good, the going at Fairy House is good, and the going at Sligo is yielding. They're spoiling the party a little bit. But hopefully, all freak weather aside, it seems like pretty solid, consistent ground for Sunday's action. So
shouldn't be seeing
anything silly, should we?
No, and let's hope it's going to improve, Alex. And this is the time for it to do so.
Absolutely. Obviously, some superb racing on Saturday going on. Probably will have happened as you listen to this. That'll all be previewed on the next racing podcast. And, of course, Dave Kellner will be talking to whoever is scheduled in for the podcast on Monday. He'll be looking at the Monday jury as well. So there'll be plenty of time to look back at the top quality action that we've seen so far this week and, of course, on Saturday. We're just going to have a quick look back at yesterday's racing, job. We're going to start at Newmarket, where Alice Springs won the Falmouth Stakes. Did it very well. And Aidan O'Brien, it seems like every single flat season we just go, oh, he's rather good, isn't he? He doesn't seem to do much wrong. And yes, he has all the ammunition, but you still got to train them, get them there fit and well. And she won really well, didn't she?
Yes, I think the art of Aidan is the fact that he has all these good horses, and it's very rare that you get a flop. When you do get a flop, then, of course, it's headlines. It is just the ordinary run-of-the-mill when he goes and wins a group race and everyone says Aidan O'Brien's won another. I thought Alice Springs what I watched because I wasn't Musselburgh. I thought it was a very impressive win. And Aidan O'Brien clearly got Alice Springs in grand shape for the race and actually just seemed to accelerate away from the opposition. Outclass will be a bit of an exaggerated term, but it was a very comfortable victory. And another winner for Ryan Moore, because he had won in the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes earlier in the afternoon, which we might mention in a moment. But it's interesting that he is getting quite a lot of winners at the moment. Mm. And with Sylvester still out of action and William Buick also on the sidelines, it is an opportunity. It will be interesting to see whether he does, when it comes to the early autumn, opt to stay in this country in Ireland rather than go on travels on for really big prizes abroad and go for the champion jockey's title. I still think Sylvester will in fact retain that crown because I think he's going to come back fairly soon. He'll be eager for the return. He'll have lots of mounts and he could well put up a purple patch. But Ryan Moore, a very good rider on Alice Springs, and I don't know whether you watched the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes.
Yeah, that went the way of Roly Poly.
Yeah, that's
another
right.
Another Edna O'Brien trained runner. And well, you mentioned Ryan Moore there. It seems that when you've got arguably the best trainer, arguably the best jockey, you put them together, invariably, it's a recipe for success, isn't it?
Well, it is generally. The Gurkha just got done, of course, by Hawkbill at Sandown the week before. But I thought this was a vintage Ryan Moore ride from what I could see. Roly Poly was wavering a bit inside the last furlong or so, but he was held together by Ryan Moore, driven out, and actually Roly Poly won rather well.
You mentioned you were at Musselburgh. I believe we won some kind of royal visit, John. Were you part of the travelling royal party or not?
I didn't actually have to wear a morning suit, Alex. there was a real selection. I was invited to lunch because it was the appearance of Her Majesty and the Duke of Edinburgh at Musselburgh to celebrate their 200th anniversary. 200 solid years of racing on that particular course at Musselburgh. And the Queen was going to present a couple of cups during the afternoon. She was arriving around about lunchtime, and the real select went into the royal box. I was on what you might call the championship level in the Lovett suite. However, I did, of course, see Her Majesty, and you know, she was magnificently attired in royal blue, hat and suit, and she did have two runners, in fact, at the meeting, and she was presenting cups to the winner of both of those, and we wondered whether the Duke of Edinburgh was going to be called upon to present the cup to Her Majesty should she have victory, but both our horses didn't quite go up to expectations, although it has to be said Forecaster ran well in the big race of the afternoon at Musselburgh. Michael Bell trained both of them. He was at Musselburgh yesterday, so a lot of people sort of touched their noses and thought that Forecaster was going to win. Ran well but didn't. And it was quite an interesting day at Musselburgh, but there's just one thing which struck me. Kevin Ryan, his horses are coming right back to form, you know, and he had a two-year-old winner at Musselburgh, and I think he's very much a trainer to follow in the current form.
He is the kind of trainer as well, isn't he, that when he's, particularly with his two-year-olds, when they get rolling, all of a sudden they're a real force. I mean, you talk about trainers who have likely types as two-year-old, and you think Richard Hannon, typically, Mark Johnston, in the north you'd say Richard Fahey, typically pretty good, and Godolphin. Obviously, there's plenty of others that do chip in. But Kevin Ryan is sort of an all-or-nothing, isn't it? He'll have a few that run pretty poorly, but then he always seems to have two or three really quite smart ones, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And in the middle of the summer, it's the time to follow. Mm. And that's the pattern this year as well. He had a very quiet early start, really, Kevin Ryan, all types of horses, two-year-olds right through to his old sprinters. But they've come good in the past week. Brando was a very good winner at Sandown the Saturday before last, and the team seem to be in very good shape at the moment.
They do indeed. Right, we'll move on to Sunday's racing then, and despite the fact that on Saturday we've got some fantastic flat action, there's nothing to speak of, not in the UK anyway, on Sunday. So we're going to focus our attentions on some jumping action at Perth and Suddle. We are going to preview the best race, the Group 3, Fillies Group 3 from Fairy House as well, in just a few moments. But we'll start at Perth, John, And the first race that we're going to look at is the 410. It is a handicap chase over the extended 2.5 mile trip. And plenty of these arrive here in good nick. It's a fascinating renewal, isn't it?
It is a fascinating renewal. There are, as you say, a large number of horses who could be named possible winners. Just sort of nipping down some of those names. Gurkha Brave is right at the top of the list. Has run well at Carlisle on recent occasions. Good winner there earlier in the season. Perth, a slightly different track. Other horses who, perhaps not stars, but, you know, have reasonable chances. Lucinda Russell, she's got Vanguard de Guy running for the first time this summer. Derek Fox in the saddle. He, of course, is taking over, really, as the leading jockey at Lucinda Russell's stable, Derek Fox, with the retirement of Peter Buchanan. Then we have Royal McNab, who ran quite well at Perth last time out. Rather a modest horse, but consistent. Le Grand Chain is another who's shown a bit of form recently. And even Vodka Wells. But I narrowed it down to two, Alex. The Irish always need to be heavily regarded at Perth, and Stuart Crawford often has runners which do particularly well at the Tayside track, and he's got Run With The Wind. Now, I think I'm right in saying Run With The Wind did quite well in this race last year.
Won it at 20-1, and interesting to see Run With The Wind comes here off the back of a second place over hurdles at Down Royal, beaten by Clarkham, and I know you'll look at that form and go, wow, behind Clarkham. Was beaten 12 lengths and you know, the winner won very easily. But that looked like a pipe opener for the Crawford horse, who last year did exactly the same. Ran over hurdles at Down Royal, then came to Perth in this race over fences, and won. Well, unlikely to be going off 20-1, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the Crawford's doing the same again. Andrew Lynch in the plate, replacing, obviously, Peter Buchanan, who you just mentioned has retired. They'll be hoping for a big run, you'd have thought, here.
I would have thought so. It's a very interesting pattern. And Andrew Lynch comes over to Perth rarely. When he does, he's generally in the business. So Run With The Wind's got to have a major chance. It might look just a little bit too obvious. I'm not sure. I'm going to go, though, for Kim Bailey's horse in this race. Such a legend. Kim Bailey doesn't send all those men or all that many horses to Perth, but he has them fettled up, Alex. When they come, they're generally well-backed and they generally oblige. And I thought that Such A Legend ran very promisingly for this Perth race last time out at Toxeter. He was second in the end to Minella Present. I think that form is fair. He's coming down a grade here, and with the reputation of the trainer, I'm going to go for his horse here, Such A Legend, to actually beat the Irish Raider Run With The Wind.
Okay, Such A Legend gets the nod then in the Perth 410. We're going to jump a little bit back in time and go to Suddle for the 350, a handicap hurdle over 3 miles. A few of these arriving here in decent nick, John. River Intrigue was a winner last time out. Mountain Tunes, of course, the horse that AP McCoy rode his 4,000th winner on, has lost his way since that win, but bounced back to form with a decent run when last seen. There's plenty you could give chances to here, but what are you going to go for?
Well, I thought the three had outstanding really in the contest. You've just mentioned the John O'Neill horse, Mountain Tunes, badly out of form after AP had the winner, but did show just a sparkle of return to his best last time out when second at Foss Lass. And it wasn't a great race, but this is not particularly high class, and Mountain Tunes is going to be ridden by Adie Coleman. My goodness, Aidan Coleman's riding well at the moment, and he's particularly good on chasers from Charlie Longston's yard. And I think, you know, he's not without a squeak of chasing Mr. Johnson home in the jockey's title this year. So he's on Mountain Tunes. Harristown is another one which has a little bit of interest. Fourth last time out. And this is Charlie Longston, who has his horses in very good nick. And he's got his go-to jockey in a way, Sam Twiston Davis, in the saddle here. I think Harristown has got to improve a bit, but but nevertheless, he is in with the chance. My selection will, though, be River of Intrigue, Nicky Henderson's runner here. I thought he ran well when not necessarily expecting to win at Worcester last time out. But he beat a horse of the Tristan Davises, who was very well fancied at the track on that day, Wicked Willie. He won well and seemed to go particularly well for young Alan Doyle, who is, another of these young jockeys beginning to make a name for himself at Nicky Henderson's yard. So I'm going to go for River of Intrigue.
River Intrigue then gets the nod for Nicky Henderson. From John in the 350 at Southall. We'll move to the 420 at Southall now. A handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. A bit less form to go on here, John. A few of these have been a bit disappointing of late, and it makes the claims of those that do have decent recent form, yeah, we can say that, makes their claims even more obvious here, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It is a tricky race because there are two horses in it, Charlie Breakey, representing Ben Pawley, and Mr. McGuinness down at the bottom, who did in fact run in the same race at Southall last time out. And on that occasion, Charlie Breakey was in the frame, but would not necessarily have finished in front of Mr. McGuinness, who, if I record, was three lengths clear coming to the final flight and then fell. Had he stood up, there is more than the possibility he would actually have won, Mr. McGuinness. And so you've got to be a bit careful, I think, in this contest. Ballymure represents Nicky Henderson, got Jeremiah McGrath in the saddle for this one, and was a decent winner at Yetoxeter last time out from Masquerade. Now, I think that form is just a little bit better, actually. So although Charlie Breakey has been placed at Southwell, and Mr. McGuinness might have won the race in which Charlie Breakey ran at Southwell had he not fallen at the last, I rate Ballymore's beating of Masquerade just that little bit better form. So I'm going to go for a Nicky Henderson double, in fact, at Southwell.
OK, we'll move on to the final race that we're going to look at. The 3.10 at Fairy House. It is the Brownstone Stakes, a fillies group 3 over 7 furlongs. Just the 6 of them going to post for this, John. And we're likely to have a pretty short price favourite here in Raymonda for Dermot Weld.
Yes, we are going to have a short price favourite here. And the form would suggest that Raymonda is going to win this contest. Great follower, though, Alex, of Jer Lyons. Are you keen on Jer Lyons' horses in Ireland?
I am, and he's got two very interesting runners here, both for the same connections of Qatar Racing. Anipe, who won this race last year, and Queen Katrine, who's no back number herself.
No, absolutely. I've been a little bit disappointing recently, Queen Katrine. I thought she'd do better than she has done. It's interesting that last year's winner, Enity, is in this contest again, and there is no reason why she shouldn't go close to repeating last year's good performance. I, too, am a tremendous supporter of Jer Lyons. I wouldn't be called the greatest Irish guru in the William Hill studio, but I do follow Jer Lyons' runners carefully, and I think that he could be involved in the frame, certainly, in this race. Jim Bulger's got Mimi King running for the first time this season, but his horses are going extremely well, and Molly Dolly, I think, is a little bit outclassed here. So I fancy Dermot Weld's going to take this race with the progressive Raymonda.
OK, Raymonda, hard to get away from then in the 3.10 at Fairy House. Great stuff, John. Pleasure talking to you as always. We'll catch up with you soon. Best of luck with your selections on Sunday and enjoy all the action.
Thank you very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.